Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. In the next few minutes, I will take you through the financial update of Infosys. We'll talk about the challenges and how we are trying to manage those. This is a standard safe harbor clause. Anything we talk about future, please read the SEC filings and come to your own conclusions. The second quarter has been extremely good. We have seen the revenue growing by around 10% sequentially. Net income grew by 13%. The growth has mainly come from the financial services sector, especially in the North American area. We have increased our guidance based on the growth we saw in the first two quarters. We increased our guidance for the year from 28%-30% growth in revenues to something around 34%. We increased the guidance for employee addition growth to 20,200 employees from 12,600 employees. We also increased the CapEx guidance from $220 million-$250 million to something around $260 million-$290 million. What we are seeing here is fundamentally we have a competitive business model. We are like the Dell of the software industry. We are like the Toyota of the software industry. We have a global delivery model which has got a robust training engine, which has got a robust hiring engine. We have invested a lot of money in systems, processes, and quality. It's not about hiring some 1,000 people, 10,000 people in India. It's more than that. On top of this, we keep adding the services. Whatever we do, we leverage our global delivery model. That means 65%-70% of the effort will happen from India. It's a win-win for both the customer and us. This global delivery model is supported by a highly evolved cost structure. If you look at the numbers from fiscal 2003 to now, the margins have moved in a narrow band. In spite of a lot of pressure on the cost side in terms of wage increases, in terms of currency movements, et cetera, et cetera, we are able to maintain the margins because we have certain levers on the cost side, and we are leveraging the global delivery model. We are balancing growth and margins. We don't want to look at one in the absence of other. We want to grow fast, but at the same time, we want to ensure that we get better margins. A lot of challenges on the margin front. I listed down all that here. I'll talk about each one of them. We also have certain levers on the cost side, like the on-site offshore mix, utilization, the scale benefits, which we effectively use to offset any impact due to these challenges on the margin front. The billing rates are stable. Today, we are seeing a stable billing environment. Some of the new customers are coming at higher billing rates. Some of the existing customers where they come for, where the contracts are coming for renegotiation, we have seen some uptick on the price. Overall, we are seeing a stable billing rate kind of scenario today. If you look at the billing rates, if you take 99 as a base, the billing rates have moved up in fiscal 2000 and 2001. That is mainly on the back of a lot of spending during the dot-com era. Afterwards, the billing rates corrected because of that. Otherwise, the billing rates almost constant from what it was in 99 to what it is now. The new services are the engines of our growth. All these new services, the billing rates are higher than the company average. When we add new services and they are growing faster, that will act as a buffer on the overall blended per capita revenue. If you look at the package implementation, it has grown from 11% in fiscal 2003 to something around 16% in the last quarter. Overall, the new services were 30% of our revenue in fiscal 2003. Now it is 42% of our revenue. It acts as a buffer on the blended per capita revenue. The volume growth has been strong. Today, the only trend you see in the IT services market is offshoring. As Nandan said, all CIOs on the planet know about Infosys, know about offshoring. We have seen tremendous growth in volumes as we leverage more and more of our global delivery model. The wage pressure is manageable. India is a large country. India produces something around 400,000 engineering graduates each year. After that, there's 2 million graduates. What you are seeing is the pressure is more on the laterals, that is senior project managers level, than the freshers. Our gross additions during the last quarter was 6,868 employees. We are seeing on the offshore side, the salary is going up by 10%-15% each year. Around 11% of our revenue goes towards paying salaries in India. If that is growing at 10%-15%, it'll have an impact of something around 160-180 basis points on the margin. The on-site salaries for people outside India, that is growing at 3%, which will have impact of something around 90 basis points on the margin. So overall, we have to manage around 250-260 basis points on the margin due to this wage increase. We do it in we try to offset that with some of the levers we have on the cost side. Also, if you look at our compensation structure, 30% of the salaries in India across the company is variable, which is linked to company's performance in terms of top line and bottom line, and also certain part of it put as individual performance. So we have some buffer there. Also, our attrition rates are the lowest in the industry, around 10% last quarter. And most of the attrition is because of the low performance. 48% is due to the low performance leaving the company. So the attrition rates are not at the alarming rate for us to worry about the wage increase. So overall, what we are seeing today is even though the wages in India are growing at 10 to 15%, we will be able to manage that pressure by using some of the levers. The next important factor is the currency rate. As you know, our functional currency is Indian rupees, but we do report in dollars. Around 2 to 3% of our revenue comes from India. The rest of it comes from outside India. So we have a major impact if the rupee changes against the dollar. We have two types of impact. One is a transaction, other is translation. Transaction arises because we enter into a contract today, but the transaction will get concluded at a later point of time. Translation is more because we carry a lot of foreign currency assets in the balance sheet, which has to be marked to market at the end of each quarter. So we have two types of risk. One is the translation risk and the transaction risk. So look at our billing rate. 79% of the billing happens in dollars. Around 4% happens in euros. Around 8% happens in GBP, in the other currencies. We have seen the rupee and the other currencies moving more widely in the last few quarters. Last quarter, the rupee has been stable, but the dollar has depreciated against euro and GBP. This quarter, we are seeing rupee depreciating against the dollar and the dollar strengthening against euro and GBP. So all these movements will have an impact on our margins. For every 1% change in rupee-dollar rate, it will have a 50 basis point impact on our operating margins. So we try to reduce the impact by taking forward covers, by taking options. We had a forward cover position of $305 million at the end of last quarter. So we try to manage and minimize the impact due to this. We always take a view for the next 3 to 6 months. We don't take a very long-term view because it's very difficult to do. So we try to hedge our dollar receivables for next 3 to 6 months and manage that. We don't speculate. We take only hedging positions. This is more of a detail how the currency is moved. Even though the euro and the GBP is a smaller part of our portfolio, but any large movement in that will have an impact. So what you see on the non-operating side in terms of translation is a combination of all this put together. While we are growing, we make sure that we invest for the future. We have a lot of initiatives going. We have a China initiative where we are expanding rapidly. We have a consulting initiative. We have a product called Pinnacle. We have put a lot of money in that. We have the IBU business plan where each IBU comes with a 3-year plan where they want to make investments. We do that. So in the last few quarters, we have made substantial investments in this new plan. To come to income tax, our effective tax rate is between 13 to 13.5%. We have a scheme in India called Software Technology Pass Scheme, which gives a tax holiday for 10 years. This ends in fiscal 2009. Majority of our units will get out of this tax holiday in 2009, end of 2009. Few of the units will get out in 2007. So, if the tax holiday ends, our effective tax rate may go up. But there is also another scheme which has been notified recently by the Government of India. It's called Special Economic Zone Scheme, which gives you a 15-year tax holiday. First 5 years, 100%. Next 5 years, 50%. And the next 5 years, the extent of reinvestment in the business. So all the incremental growth from now on, we are trying to get into the new scheme, the FESA scheme. So it will be very difficult to say what proportion of the revenue will be in STP and what proportion of the revenue will be in FESA in 2009. Very difficult to say what will be the impact of that. But what we are trying to say is incremental growth can come under the new scheme. The existing tax holiday ends in 2009. So we have some breathing space till 2009. Also, the government has recently notified a new tax called fringe benefit tax. It's mostly related to indirect benefits given to employees. But the impact on that on our financials is very, very minimal, not material. ESOP charge. We had a new standard, 123R, which is applicable to us from fiscal 07 because we are a foreign filer. We had three schemes running in that company. The 94 plan has lapsed. We are another two, 98 and 99 plan. We stopped granting further options under that plan because we want to see how the accounting and other regulations change. We are not going to issue any further grants under those schemes. Progeon, our subsidiary, continues to issue options, but that is not a material amount. So overall, the impact due to adopting this new standard on our financials is not material. It will be around 4 million in fiscal 07 and 1 million in fiscal 08. As I told you earlier, we are leveraging our global delivery model. As long as we do 65 to 70% of the work in India, we are working on the margin side. Because when you do work in India, the gross margin is something around 70 to 75%. When you do it on-site outside India, it will be around 30-35%. So if you are able to improve the mix towards offshore, that will give us some buffer on the margin side. Utilization. Any 1% change in utilization will have an impact of 50 basis points on the margin. So this is one area where we can improve the efficiency and try to offset some of the impact we have on the financials. We also get the scale benefit on the SG&A. Whatever work we do in G&A side, we leverage the offshore. We actually do whatever we are preaching to our customers. For example, if you take the total SG&A employees, it was 9.8% of the total manpower of Infosys in fiscal 03. Today is 6.6%. So we try to get a scale benefit on the SG&A side, but by not growing them in proportion to the revenue growth. So the net result of all this is we have a competitive cost structure which is scalable, and if you look at the margins, it has moved in a narrow band. So what it effectively means is, even though we have certain impacts on the margin side due to all the issues I raised, we also have certain levers on the cost side which we can effectively use to make sure that we meet the margin requirements. So look at the balance sheet. We have $865 million of cash and cash equivalents. Our trade receivable is $304 million. So out of a balance sheet size of $1.7 billion, 70% is in cash and receivables. Our balance sheet is strong and liquid. We don't have debt. And we make sure that we remain highly liquid because we are in an industry which is changing very fast. We have very clear policy on returns and dividends. Our cost of capital is something around 14%. Our target return is 2 times cost of capital for return on capital employed and 3 times cost of capital for return on invested capital, which excludes cash. If you look at fiscal 05, we have our returns were 3.8 times of cost of capital and return on invested capital was 9.1 times our cost of capital. So we make sure that we earn higher superior return even though we maintain cash for strategic reasons. Our account receivable days is target is 60 days. Last year went to 67 days because one customer paid up late. Otherwise, it is between 58 to 60 days. It is in a comfortable position. So overall, our cash and cash equivalents as a percentage of total assets is 54%, as a percentage of revenue is 41%. We want to have cash in the balance sheet for strategic reasons. We want to be comfortable at any point of time. We want to have next 1 year's expense as cash. It gives us a lot of comfort in the business. Our dividend policy is to pay up to 20% of the net profit as dividend. We have been consistently doing that. Last year it was 18.4%. Whenever we feel that there is excess cash, we don't mind returning it to the shareholders. We have done that in fiscal 04 when we announced a one-time dividend of $164 million. So finally, we keep our business model very simple. We have no off-balance sheet items. We don't have any special purpose vehicle. We provide for all known losses. So what you see is what you get. So in summary, we are a financially strong and profitable company, growing much faster. We have a highly liquid balance sheet, and our margins, we are able to maintain the margins in spite of significant pressure from a lot of issues like wages, currency, and other stuff. So overall, what you see is what you get, and we don't have any off-balance sheet items which you need to worry. Thank you.